Hello, my imaginary friends. Listen to N here. I've just finished my cross trainer session for this evening. 16 minutes and 15 seconds. Resistance 5 and allegedly burned 195 calories of energy in doing it. I've got the fan going on top speakers. I'm just cooling myself down. I'm in the studio where the cross training machine is located. Let's turn that off. I have been in the car today, but didn't record a boo there. But I'm in the studio recording a boo. So hopefully you'll recognise the acoustics are a bit different again today. Let's go back. Walk back into the lounge and find the lovely JN2N. Hello, lovely JN2N. This is my audio boo for today.
Oh, hello.
13th of audio mo. She's scary, isn't she? Who's that on the television?
Some professor or something.
Oh, she should have staring eyes, shouldn't she? It's a professor.
Well, I just paused her at that moment, poor woman.
Yeah. 195 calories.
Ah, that's up on last time, isn't it?
Yes.
Ah, well done.
Yes, I wanted to explain, because somebody pointed out that the acoustic properties of our bedroom is exactly the same as the acoustic properties of the car. I want to explain that the reason
that
for that.
That's strange, isn't it?
No, it isn't at all, because all of our bedroom, all of our bedroom furniture is made by Nissan as well. So that's why it sounds the same.
It is?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was Chinese.
Yeah, Nissan is Japanese, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. so yeah, that's why the acoustics are the same. But yes, burning calories. So I wanted to comment on something that Roger Overall said in a few boos back. He was talking about the theory there is about there out there of that you have to, sorry, that 1 kilogram of bodily fat equates to 7,700 calories.
Yeah, scary.
And some sources have a different value for that, so some quote 7,000. Obviously Roger's got one that's quote 7,700, and there are others that that say higher and lower numbers, some down in 6,000 something. But anyway, this idea that you have to burn 7,700 calories or even 7,000 calories to get rid of a kilo of, to exercise 7,000 calories in order to burn, in order to lose a kilo of weight, that idea. I wanted to just kind of add a thought to that, because one of the things that I've learned in the last 13 days from feedback from various people is, and also from observations, is that by exercising you actually satisfy some of the body's needs that would otherwise be satisfied by eating. So you might be feeling hungry and then have some exercise and then not feel hungry. So therefore, my hope, and I'd be interested to get everyone's opinions on this, my hope would be that by adding exercise, so if it was purely, I think where people talk about 7,000 calories or 7,700 calories, whichever number you choose, let's just choose 7,000 because it's easier to say. I think where people talk on the internet and various places about you cut down your consumption by 7,000 calories over a period of time, so you eat less, that you will then automatically, if nothing else changes, you will then lose a kilogram of weight, or not gain the kilogram of weight that you would have done otherwise, kind of thing. So it's purely about the consumption of calories in terms of eating. But I think if you turn it into actually exercising, by doing exercise, then yes, you are burning off calories. But if you're also at the same time reducing appetite, then surely that will also have a beneficial effect. So you'll be reducing your intake of calories as well as burning more calories. So your 7,000 calorie target might actually be made up of burning 5,000 calories and ingesting 2,000 fewer calories over that period. But it could go the other way around, because if you're exercising really hard, you might actually be eating more. You might be more hungry because you're working so hard and building up muscle and all this stuff.
Well, I think you have to, if you're really trying to, I suppose it depends what you're trying to do, I guess. If you're trying to get fitter, lose some of the fat, but then if you're trying to build up muscle, that's an entirely different picture, isn't it? You have to eat differently. I mean, all the people I know who are trying to build up muscle, they will then eat a lot of protein.
Yes.
And they will eat, you know, and they'll know that to eat that at the right time, etc., etc. And then, yeah, you know, like athletes, they'll consume a huge amount of food, but then they also need it. So the thing I heard is that if you exercise, then you build up muscle, and then that muscle will needs to be fed, so the muscle will burn calories as well. So death was a good idea to build up muscle, and then you kind of don't need to worry too much about the fat. The fat will disappear with it, but I don't know what the scientific explanation is with that one.
So you were going to say something else.
In a way it makes sense, but yeah, I'm too tired to explain it. Anyway, but I don't know. It then becomes kind of self-perpetuating once you're building up muscle. The other thing is also, as we get older, I think the body loses muscle, so you just need to exercise to kind of keep even as well, don't you? Especially as you get into the later years. I suppose we're not quite there yet, but it's starting, so we need to counteract that.
But yeah, to me, it's just a complex interplay of different factors. So yes, fat gets, if you convert fat into muscle, but because of, if you do hard exercise while you're building up muscle, you'll turn the fat into, you might reduce fat, increase muscle weight, and you increase your muscle, your weight of muscle on your body. Muscle is more dense than fat, so therefore you could have the same weight but actually be slimmer, because the muscle is, if you convert the weight directly from fat into muscle, then it takes up less space. So therefore, if you're trying to lose a belt size or two, which I think is what Roger was saying, then turning it into muscle is a good idea, not just burning fat. So, but if you, as you say, if you turn it into muscle, then you might need to eat differently and stuff. So the simple idea of of reducing your intake by 7,000 calories in order to lose a kilogram of fat, if you change nothing else in your life, you just ingest fewer calories. That's where that formula works, I think. I think when you turn it into, actually, I'm going to be doing more exercise, I'm going to be burning more calories, I think it gets a lot more complicated, because your consumption of food and the way that the way you choose to exercise and what effect that has on your muscles and all that stuff, it's a lot more complicated, isn't it?
I think it's probably, with what we're trying to do, we're not trying to be athletes, so I think it's probably just a combination. So cutting out some of the sugars, I suppose you don't really need sugar. You don't need to eat sugar these days because so many things we eat have sugar in them and we don't know. So it's quite interesting. So but the good thing is, see, if I make bread, because they will say, oh, you know, stay away from bread because processed bread has got like 3 grams of sugar in it or something. But I know for sure that when I make bread, how much sugar goes in? 1.5 scoops, so that's 1.5 grams. And that's it. So that's even healthier. On the other hand, I have to make white bread because the kids like that better. So swings and roundabouts.
Sugar, that's another one, actually.
So, you know, cut out fat, because that's always the fallacy. People think you have to cut out fat. But if you eat, if you look at low-fat yogurts, for instance, they'll have loads of sugar because fat is actually makes things tasty. So you've got to be very careful with that one. Plus, you know, if they cut out certain things, what else are they going to put in? And that might not be very healthy for you.
Yeah, it may be so, that whatever they put in instead of the fat into the yogurt makes it taste even more fat sour than normal yogurt does. So, and therefore, they have to put sugar in it to try and counteract that.
Exactly.
It's a bit like having blackcurrant, cranberry juice. So sour, they have to put loads of sugar in it, don't they?
Yeah, so I'm very careful about that. So it's better, I find it better to just, you know, try and eat healthily and... And if I do fancy a sort of a snack and have something healthy, even if it's nuts and they're full of calories, but at least it's healthier than a biscuit. So just stay away from the sugary things, I think.
Yes, sugar. I wanted to mention sugar.
Yes.
So I noticed earlier this year that I would get a headache if I didn't have a spoonful of sugar in my tea.
Interesting.
So I was getting lots of headaches and then I started regularly putting one spoonful of sugar in my tea, and the headaches went away, and so I thought, I need to do that, but the stuff I've learned in the last 13 days and I now understand a bit more about the need for sugar and the short term fix that sugar provides, and how exercising can release the same thing that your body needs without using the sugar. So I've been able to cut sugar out of my tea. So I'm not having sugar in my tea anymore, except for the odd occasion when I forget and I just put it in there by force of habit.
Or when I make tea and I forget.
But I can go back to having tea without sugar and I don't have a headache. So
good.
That's a benefit of...
I noticed that ages ago. Headache when I go and exercise, that goes.
I can think of another physical activity that anyway, we've gone over the 10 minutes, better stop. Thanks for listening to Toodle Boo.
Bye.
Oh, this sofa wasn't made by Nissan, by the way, in case you're wondering why it sounds differently. Okay, toodle boo. Actually, Renault.